Should Christians always obey civil authority? Does the Bible ever endorse breaking man's laws when they conflict with God's laws, which have precedence? Must Christians pay taxes? What does God require? What did Jesus teach? Public demonstrations are increasing. Can Christians protest in the street? Are they to be activists seeking to fix and reform the world with a duty to improve its governments? You will learn that God has established these governments. When people go against them, are they resisting God? Many are confused about these things. Here are the Bible's answers.
The World to Come. The Restored Church of God presents David C. Pack, author of 80 books and booklets, editor-in-chief of The Real Truth magazine, read by countless and growing numbers in every nation and territory of the world. In a violent age, full of bad news, answering life's greatest questions straight from the Bible and announcing the wonderful good news of the world to come. And now, David C. Pack.
Look everywhere. Disrespect for authority has probably never been greater. It seems to grow worse daily. Lawlessness is exploding worldwide. Law in all its forms is being trampled. Think, for instance, of national boundaries. Sovereign borders now becoming meaningless. For various reasons, people now thrust themselves into other countries, defying borders and ignoring civil authorities. Hundreds of thousands are entering Europe illegally on boats. Their first act is to say, "We reject your right to have sovereign boundaries." Many countries are caving to the pressure, and due to increasing war, more will. A question arises, to be answered later. Do Christians illegally enter other countries due to persecution or bad circumstances? More than ever, civilization has become driven by a spirit of rebellion in the pursuit of personal freedoms and individual rights. Millions are systematically destroying institutions one by one in a growing trend toward anarchy on every level: social, political, civil, moral, economic, religious, and domestic. Why is all this happening? Because human nature hates law and government in every form. Read Romans 8 and verse 7. It hates being told what to do. It naturally tries to find loopholes in instructions and law. People have grown to be almost entirely concerned over whether their freedoms and rights are being violated. But millions are now also worried about the growing chaos and confusion threatening everything that was once stable. None of the humanly devised governments on earth are perfect. They are filled with corruption, inefficiency, inconsistency, and terrible injustice. Most ministers teach it as a Christian's duty to make the world a better place. They believe that through the efforts of good people all working together, the world and its governments can find peace, prosperity, and happiness for all. Is this true? Do Christians have a God-ordained duty to make this world's governments better? Does Jesus want you writing your congressman about issues you want addressed? A Christian is one who follows Jesus Christ and obeys God. Jesus continually spoke about God's government being established on earth. Christians yield to and obey, they submit themselves to, this government. But how does this relate to your country's government, city, state, or federal? Do you have a responsibility to change it? Are Christians free to speak evil of individuals in authority if they don't like their actions? All Christians live in a nation on earth. All have some form of human government. Let's address how and whether a Christian is required to obey man's laws, statutes, and ordinances. What did Jesus teach about submitting to government authority? The Apostle Peter stated that judgment must begin at the house of God, his church. Christians must know how God will judge them. The Bible has much to say on this. Commands are numerous and clear. First, we must understand basic instruction about the Christian calling. A true Christian is not of this world or its systems. regarding the religious and political systems of men, which God calls Babylon. He says, "Come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins." Babylon means confusion. The true servants of God have come out of this world, its governments, and its confusion. See 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 33. The last night before Jesus was crucified, he explained through prayer a vital truth to all later disciples whom God would call. "I pray not that you should take them out of the world," he prayed, "but that you should keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through your truth. Your word is truth." A Christian is one who believes and follows the truth. This sets him apart, sanctifies him from all those around him. He is not of the world and its ways, customs, and traditions. Of course, Christians can't live on Mars or as hermits in caves or on mountaintops. Jesus did not mean to come out of the physical world. He meant to come out of its systems of governments and religions. Christians do have contact with and live under human governments. God tells them how to view their government. "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resists the power resists the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Will you then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and you shall have praise of the same, for he is the minister of God to you for good." Today, more and more people want to kill those God says are ministers of God. Continuing, "But if you do that which is evil, be afraid, for he bears not the sword," or we might say gun, today, "in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that does evil. Wherefore you must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For this cause pay you tribute also, or taxes, for they are God's ministers attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute, or taxes, to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor." These verses contain much to consider. They leave no question that all people, every soul, including Christians, are subject to the higher powers because they are ordained of God. To resist them, God says, is to resist God. That's serious. God asks, "Will you then not be afraid of the power?" Many are not, but they should be. Christians honor those who deserve honor. They pay taxes, tribute. They are subject to government and render their dues to all in authority. This is not how millions today conduct themselves. And many have pastors leading the way, no matter what God says. Don't be confused. Christians are not told to be afraid of the actual men in office, but rather of the power these men hold. Since they only have this power by God's permission, it is really the power of God we are to fear. Have you ever wondered who selects national leaders? Ultimately, do men choose presidents, prime ministers, and other human leaders of the nations today? Benjamin Franklin said, "The longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth, that God governs in the affairs of man. And if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, is it probable that an empire can rise without his aid?" This is truer than Franklin probably ever understood. Here's proof. An amazing scripture at least partly explains why talented people are leaving politics faster than ever. Let's read from the prophet Daniel. "This matter is by the decree of the watchers and the demand by the word of the holy ones," that's God and Christ, "to the intent that the living may know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomsoever he will and sets up over it the basest of men. And he, God, removes kings and sets up kings." This is plain. God establishes and removes kings and kingdoms. If God chooses to install the weakest and basest people, base means bottom, like a basement, because he may feel this is who the people deserve, it's his prerogative. When Jesus was on trial before Pilate, he revealed the source of Pilate's authority over the trial. Then said Pilate unto him, Speak you not unto me? Know you not that I have power to crucify you and have power to release you? Jesus answered, You could have no power at all against me except it were given you from above. Men come to power in many ways, including nepotism, bribery, revolution, deceit, or even murder. But these are all things God allows for his great overall purpose. Some who cite Daniel 4 miss the point in saying God is working in this election, and good Christians everywhere, if we can get out the vote, can put godly men in office. This has them potentially fighting God's purpose. Almost all religious leaders misunderstand or ignore such verses, believing it is somehow their job to guide Christians to change men's governments to make them better. Consider, you and I don't know whom God has selected in advance, the winner that he wants in office. To cast a vote other than for whom God has pre-selected for victory is to fight God's purpose. That's serious, and the Bible says it is possible to do this. Read Acts 5 and verse 39. In democracies where leaders are chosen through elections, God determines winners in advance. In the end, the will of the people has no power or effect because God is in charge of the outcome. Take time to read our eye-opening free booklet, Should Christians Vote? God is working out a plan that encompasses 7,000 years. He is allowing mankind to find out that its own ways, governments, values, religions, and purposes do not work and never will. He has already picked leaders that best worked toward his overall plan of salvation for mankind. These powers are truly ordained of God. But don't misunderstand. While the Bible reveals God sets up and removes rulers, and that governments only have power as long as he permits, the kingdoms of this world are not God's kingdoms. Another free booklet, What is the Kingdom of God?, explains God's future world-ruling supergovernment. If leaders lie, cheat, steal, are unjust or corrupt, are Christians off the hook and no longer required to obey them? Must leaders' behavior always command respect and obedience? Are individuals free to decide who is and is not worthy of honor? Jesus answered these questions in context of the hypocrisy and terrible conduct of religious leaders who held power over the Jews. The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat, he said. All, therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do, but do not you after their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and they lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. Regardless of how leaders conduct themselves, either in their personal lives or carrying out official duties, they must be obeyed. Just don't copy their ungodly examples. By respecting those who hold office through God's permission, we actually show respect to God himself. While personal conduct may be far from praiseworthy, even to the point where some corrupt the very government they represent, they're still appointed by God to preserve general order and punish lawbreakers and wrongdoers. Make no mistake, those doing this within man's governments are doing it on God's behalf. He is working out a purpose far different than what any personal agenda you may have for government improvement could solve. When leaders are self-serving or even outright devilish, it is God's job to remove them, not ours. Peter spoke of those who despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed, not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Some people utter outrageous slander against those in authority for real or imagined wrongs. They presume it is all right to do this, but in truth, they simply lack the fear necessary to restrain them from attacking dignitaries or dignities. Such people themselves lack even normal human dignity in this regard. You've heard the saying, a little bird told me. Wise King Solomon warned to curse not the king, no, not in your thought, and curse not the rich in your bedchamber. For a bird of the air shall carry the voice, and that which has wings shall tell the matter. Slander is wrong, but also foolish. Eventually, the king or any leader will learn what was said. Paul wrote, "Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates," that's lower-ranking judges, "to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men." Does this describe you? Or do you reflect cynicism, bitterness, anger, and accusation toward others? This instruction is all-encompassing. Speak evil of no man.
The World to Come program will return after this brief message. Be sure to regularly view The World to Come. It is unlike anything you've seen before. The subject of this broadcast is only one of the many biblical topics that are misunderstood and misinterpreted by modern Christianity. The law of God, the origin of traditional holidays, salvation, heaven, hell, and the purpose of the family, the Sabbath, real faith, proper baptism, true conversion, financial laws, and numerous others are covered on this program. On The World to Come, you will hear the plain truth of these subjects and many more. You will also hear world news examined in the light of Bible prophecy, its biggest elements made easy to understand. Tune in for every broadcast. And now, back to David C. Pack.
Be careful what you say and do, because God also inspired Solomon to record, "An ungodly man digs up evil, and in his lips there is as a burning fire." I've seen many who traffic in gossip, innuendo, slander, storytelling, and character assassination of leaders of all kinds. They spew burning fire over those they attack, trying to consume them. They think they're acting with impunity when God says to fear to do this. Read Romans 13 and verse 4. Ultimately, no one gets away with defamation. Peter also gave important instruction about what God expects. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. The term "for the Lord's sake" shows it is God who wishes all to submit to every ordinance of men's governments. Peter did not say obey every ordinance. Why? Because some laws are contrary to God's direct instructions and cannot be obeyed. An account from the book of Acts illustrates this. The apostles had been commanded by the authorities to stop preaching Christ or to invoke his authority. Their response: "Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge you." After the disciples had been arrested and imprisoned for disregarding the command, it states, "Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, 'We ought to obey God rather than men.'" A conversation ensued. Gamaliel, a respected leader, urged the council to stop harassing the apostles. The account continues, "To him, Gamaliel, they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go." The apostles certainly did submit to the beating, but they did not lash out, hurling accusations and epithets against those who had so unjustly dealt with them. They willingly accepted the consequences of putting God's way before the wrong-headed actions of blinded men. They obeyed God rather than men. In giving guidance for such circumstances, Paul wrote, "So that we may boldly say, 'The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me.'" Should you ever face obeying God over men, keep this encouraging verse close to heart. Some popular movements have arisen teaching that we do not have to pay taxes or paying income tax is unconstitutional. Various explanations claim this is what God approves. It is not. Jesus addressed this and was impossible to misunderstand. Tell us, therefore, what think you? Is it lawful to give tribute, taxes, unto Caesar or not? But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, Why tempt you me, you hypocrites? Show me the tribute money. And they brought unto him a penny. And he said unto them, Whose is this image and superscription? They say unto him, Caesar's. Then said he, Render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. Get this. Jesus called seeking to avoid taxes wicked and hypocritical. Those who cheat the government are thieves, period. Obviously, anyone can make a simple mistake. That's different. But those who seek to avoid paying taxes directly disobey Jesus' plain command. Sometimes it seems there is not enough money to pay all the bills. It takes faith to pay the taxes of men and the tithes that belong to God. You must rely on God to help pay both what you owe to Him and man. Let's read more. In Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, Does not your master pay tribute? He said, Yes. Get that. Jesus paid taxes. And when he was come into the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, What think you, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children or of strangers? Peter said to him, Of strangers. Jesus said to him, Then are the children free. Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go you to the sea and cast a hook and take up the fish that first comes up. And when you have opened his mouth, you shall find a piece of money. That take and give to them for me, Jesus, and you. The point? God has power to give you enough money to satisfy tax collectors. His options are unlimited. This includes putting money into the mouth of a fish if necessary. Who's ever had to experience this to pay taxes? The one who relies on God never needs to worry. God will keep his promise to provide. Request our free booklets, End All Your Financial Worries and What is Real Faith. They are thorough and inspiring. You will be glad you read them. It is also important to never pay taxes grudgingly. Since God commands paying taxes, do this as willingly as any other of His commands. The Christian's duty does not end with mere obedience to government. Paul actually tells us to pray for those in authority and includes why. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority. Why? That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. As persecution and difficulty in society grows worse, it will be harder to lead lives of peace, godliness, and honesty. Prayers for those in authority can cause God to bring relief to those striving to obey Him. Never forget this responsibility. Christians are to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth. They are to always shine as outstanding examples to the world. This includes a humble willingness to cheerfully obey all civil governments under which they find themselves. When persecution comes due to obeying God, Peter explains, If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. Paul distinguishes between suffering for the name of Christ or as a lawbreaker. He adds, Let none of you suffer as a murderer, or thief, or evildoer, or busybody in other men's matters. During my over 45-year ministry, I have known many who sought to get around the laws of men. Sometimes, when brought to justice, they even found a way to claim they were actually being persecuted for religious convictions. They also supposed they could get away with what they did, or that what they were doing was not really wrong because they were merely breaking man's laws. Yet God commands to always keep man's laws unless contrary to His laws. Over the decades, I have visited and known of many who were in jail or prison or had been there. Almost none thought they were guilty of what put them behind bars. They nearly always saw themselves as victims of someone or something. I've watched people break men's laws, and of course, usually God's at the same time, and proclaim themselves victims of injustice, the system, betrayal, the police, bad lawyers, a frame-up, stress, depression, drugs, alcohol, medication, disease, racism, circumstances, poverty, a bad childhood, broken home, being in the wrong place at the wrong time, and on and on. Rarely do people believe their crimes were their own fault. It is almost impossible to help such people see their guilt. Read Jeremiah 17:9 and you'll see why. And since most naturally root for the underdog, such people can easily sway others into believing they're victims. When courts make rulings on any matter, they are also to be obeyed. To defy them is sin and either a civil or criminal offense. Never let human reasoning fool you with its endless excuses for why this is not really wrong. Jesus said that one sign the end of the age had come would be that lawlessness would abound. We have obviously entered that time. We live in an age of anti-heroes, when lawbreakers are seen as virtuous or even courageous. The foolish see them as modern-day Robin Hoods. The truth is that Robin Hood committed crimes to give to the poor. Don't fall for any form of this thinking. Submit yourself to all ordinances of men as though you are directly obeying God Himself. Why? That's exactly what you're doing. Never break men's laws and assert you are actually serving God. Jesus foretold that the time comes that whosoever kills you will think that he does God's service. Many today believe the God they serve is pleased after they have just committed the most heinous kinds of murder. Let's return to an earlier question. Do true Christians, those who really obey God, flee their country due to horrible circumstances? They do not. They stay where they are and submit to their government. They trust God, and this can mean deliverance or martyrdom. Soon, man's ineffective governments will be demolished by Jesus Christ. His world-ruling super-government, the kingdom of God, will replace all the failed governments of men. Christians look forward to this time and never forget that until it arrives, they submit to government authority. Until next time, this is David C. Pack saying, goodbye, friends.
This program was made available by Restored Church of God members and donors from around the globe. Explore our vast library of literature and other World to Come programs, which are all made available free of charge. To order the literature featured in this program, write to the Restored Church of God, 1000 Ambassador Drive, Wadsworth, Ohio, 44281, or call toll-free 1-855-828-4646. That number again, 1-855-828-4646.